afternoon. It's Rob. Who's on?
Hi, Rob, Luca, and Juan Carlos. How are you?
Hello.
Good, good. How are you?
Good. Very well. Thank you, Rob.
So, what's on your mind today?
Many things. No, I just came back from a long business trip in Argentina. Roughly 3 weeks. Yeah. So catching up with everything here at the office. Very productive trip. We're very happy. We landed a nice account, $35 million account.
Oh wow! Congratulations.
So, that's a good one. And then working with a couple of prospects on important developments. One client about to sell his company with a valuation of $50 million. And then two or three more leads on potential new business, new accounts. So very, very productive, very, very happy. So on that side, it's on the side of growing, bringing more assets. We're doing very well. We're happy. Networking is working okay. And most of those comes from existing clients and some leads and friends or relatives, so it's working fine. And then basically what also is, I was mentioning Juan Carlos, that the thing I enjoy and I like a lot and it's working is the calls with clients. Many of them they got used to it. And they like it. We keep it very, 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 very simple. We have a format for sending them the statement with the key data we want to show them, performance, asset allocation, cash flow analysis, and a few more slides. And then we send them the email with the summary and it's working, so we are very happy. We're very happy with that. Then with Juan Carlos is working a lot. He's doing basically extra time with lots of administrative stuff and things. So we were although you know we tried to maximize all the tools you provide us in terms of accountability, game board, and so on, it's very difficult in terms of the daily tasks he has to do in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of time. That's basically bureaucracy, for example, transferring one security to another institution or receiving a mutual fund for another one and loans and I mean every part of the, let's say, the back office side of the business, it's sometimes doesn't run as smoothly as we would like to, and it takes time, and it's taking a lot of time of Juan Carlos' daily work. Yeah. So right now I would say that's my the main concern we are having. So we're discussing here at the office and with management, trying to get more help. Because we will be facing a bottleneck, you know, in terms of being able to respond rapidly to clients' requests and do everything in a timely fashion. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And with that, I don't know. I mean, pardon?
That's not good. Bottleneck in service shouldn't be with new technology and computers, and that should be everything should be more efficient than ever, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And you're right. We are going into that direction. The thing is, the business we run here is the international side of the business, so everything is a little bit more tricky. It has an extra layer of bureaucracy. For example, opening an account for a domestic client here in the U.S., we can get it done within an hour, in a day. For an international client, depending on the complexity, if it's an individual account or let's say if a personal holding company or a trust, it could take 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's different. And to that, I mean, we have our weekly meetings. We talk. We discuss. Try to see where he's having more difficulties. And at the end is the time that every single task he has to do, it consumes a lot of his time, his resources. Yeah. So we don't know what to do with that. So that right now it's our main concern. I mean, portfolios are doing fine. Growing is okay. Relationship with clients is okay. Conversations are okay. This would be the main thing in our minds.
So, sort of a different subject. What would you say is the your impression of business in the emerging markets and the economy in general in Argentina, and probably in Argentina since you just got back from there? What do you think?
Yeah, emerging markets. I think it's a good context. It's a good time to consider emerging markets for our clients. We have a very different situation from last year. You know, the context has changed. Supposedly, the Fed won't they will stop raising rates, so that's positive for emerging markets. The dollar should remain at these levels. It might drop a little bit with relation to other currencies. So that's also a positive for emerging markets. Growth globally is not that bad, positive for emerging markets. China, last numbers coming from China, they are not that bad. They came and they surprised to the positive, so it's also good. Risk appetite is okay, so all those things are positive for emerging markets. So it's a good play. What's going on in Argentina is completely different. It's an election year, so a lot of uncertainty in Argentina. We don't know what could happen. There's a chance that he might get reelected, but it's a close call. Nobody knows. The chance is very, very, very small. Very small, and the economy is not doing good. To the contrary, they're in a recession, and hopefully that recession we saw the bottom of that relation, that recession at, let's say, December, January, February. Those 3 months probably show us the bottom, and then we'll start to recover a little bit, you know, very, very slowly. Positive, on the positive side for Argentina is April, May is a strong month. From April to September, all the people with farmland, they sell the revenues, they sell the dollars from all the exports of soybeans and corn and all agricultural commodities. So those dollars, they would find their way into the economy in terms of pesos. So that's a positive. But at the end, it's a call of who will be the next president. And there's a, in the polls, there's a small chance that the former president, you know, Kirchner, that she is starting to gain more and more leverage, and it could happen. I mean, there's a small probability or a small chance, but she could be the next president. And if that happens, it's like going back to the old model. And imagine, and so under that scenario, would be, nobody. Yeah.
That would be pretty bad, right?
Yeah, that would be
terrible.
Terrible. So all clients, everybody with investments and corporations and businesses in Argentina, they everything is paralyzed, basically.
Well, when's the election?
October.
October, okay.
October, yeah. I mean, the what should happen for Macri to the steps that we have to see in Argentina that would allow Macri to get reelected would be that you could stabilize the effects in Argentina. That's the priority. After that, you will have to see that inflation coming down. Inflation is running very high. It's running like at 3-4% monthly inflation, imagine.
Ooh.
So it's crazy. Yeah, so if you don't do that, the economy will never get on track and will never recover, and then the chance of winning or getting reelected is almost impossible. It would be like a miracle. I mean, in the back of the minds of every Argentinian, if they can set aside what's going on in the economy, the logical thing to do would be to vote again for Macri, because he represents a new way of doing politics, you know, less corruption and completely different model, more, you know, the right way to do it, you know. But at the end, there's a theory that everybody, when they go to the polls and they vote, and they vote with their wallets, you know, and if you cannot make ends, you know, if you can pay the rent and buy food for your family, they probably they would vote another candidate. Yeah.
So it's such a conundrum, because you got to have time to let capitalism work.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to give it the time that it needs and absorb the pain that you must absorb in order to get there. You know, it's just once you're there, and once you get the thing, inflation down and costs under control, then it works. But until then, you know, there's always a painful period of slow growth. And they, you know, the typical, I see what you mean. I mean, the typical person that can't feed the family is going to vote for, you know, socialism or communism in order to get there, at least the promise of something, you know. Very sad. But anyway. Hopefully we can get this new free trade deal done with the Americas, and maybe that will increase exports, which would be what a country like Argentina needs, right?
Yeah. I mean, we have, luckily, we have the full support of this administration and also the IMF. Trying to help, but it's going to take, I mean, if elections were to happen next year, probably would be a completely different picture. The thing is that we are having election at the same time that we are having a recession. So that's making things more complicated for Macri.
That's tough. All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I just, you know, you spend 3 weeks in Argentina and you're talking to business people. It's just a valuable insight that you have, and I can't resist hearing about it.
It's okay. I like talking about my country. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful country. It's we wish you well.
Thank you.
Anyway. So what can I do to help you?
Probably something I've been thinking is to focus on leadership, and in that regard, I have been in conversations with a colleague here we share some business, okay, and down the road probably we would like to share more, and depending on how it goes, quite probably we could end up working as a partnership, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I would be transitioning from one-man show into a team, okay? And I know him from many years. We used to work together in another institution, in a previous bank. There's the trust underlying the relationship that I think is very important to do this at the end, you know, and of course that's the base. Then all the other elements that I think are important, they are in place, okay, in terms of skills and experience and you know. So that is fine. So now I'm thinking in terms of how to move forward. Been discussing this with Juan Carlos. He likes the idea. I also explained to him the way I work with Supernova and the calls and so on. And at his profile is more of a farmer, you know. He travels, but he travels much less than what I do. I think I'm more focused in bringing assets. You know, I enjoy a lot that side of the business. And probably he's great with clients on the commercial side. But I think he also thinks of himself and adding value more on running like a business, or more focusing in rebalancing portfolios and on the investment side. And so that could work. That could be a good partnership. You know, I would have more free time to do more work on the commercial side. You know, and I will travel more often. I will feel more at ease, you know, less concerned, you know. So I think it would be a great match. So now I will have to think of myself more, to acquire and to have more leadership skills. So I think that's something I would value a lot, your advice, your insights.
Okay, so a friend of mine, Curtis Brown, and I wrote a book on Supernova Advisor Teams. I recommend that you get that in hard copy and audio, and that you listen to it and you have your future partner listen to it. Also, of course, they should read the Supernova Advisor, and then the Supernova Multiplier will be coming out in audio in April. The book is out now, and that's on how to grow your business. So the growth, that's, it sounds like the growing part is more your responsibility, the leadership and the growing, and you're going to gain administration and support and kind of almost psychological support from this kind of a partnership. Does that sound correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that will give us a bedrock to discuss, because we cover everything from building teams to how to hire people, how to manage them, how to, you know, it's a very comprehensive book, and it's written for financial advisors on how to build and manage their own teams. I don't think there's anything in the market like it. Okay, so it's a really important book for you. I cover leadership in the Supernova Advisor, and I cover leadership in the Supernova Multiplier and in the team book. So you can go to those and read those chapters on leadership. Very important. Communications is the key to, I mean, having a clear vision and then communicating that vision to the teammates on a regular basis and making it value-based is very important. So you want to make sure that the team has the same values. It's a fun exercise to do, where you put down everybody independently on the separate pad, yellow pad, writes down their top 10 values. Okay? And then what you do is have a facilitator or you or your boss or somebody gets together with you, and they take those values and they combine them to come up with the team's top 5 values, top 10, top 5, whatever you guys think. It's a very interesting exercise. And by doing that, you end up discussing what's important in your life, and you get a clear picture of the other person. It's a really good thing to do before the team ever forms. Because, you know, I've had some people find surprises in their the importance of certain values to certain people.
Good.
And it's sort of enlightening. So one of the most important things in building a team is to make sure that your values are consistent. Each person values, they don't have to have perfect alignment, but you want to have similar alignment in what's important in your life and your value system. You can then take that and create a mission statement, which is not that hard to do. Seems daunting, but you can actually do it pretty quickly. But you need your values before you can write your mission statement. Your mission statement should incorporate your values. It doesn't have to have the same words, but it should incorporate your values. So it's a fun exercise, one that I enjoy doing, and we could do that. We could do it on the phone. We could do it as a separate exercise, and you just have to tell me what it was that everybody came up with, and then we could discuss it, and I'd show you how to do that, and I could help build your mission statement.
Okay. Yeah, this is a good starting point. I haven't thought about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you come up with a value statement, which is, you know, where are we going to be in 5 and 10 years? And that's important to do ahead of time also, because, you know, it may be different. You know, they may not be interested in the same things you are in terms of, you know, where you want to be in 5 or 10 years. And so that's important to get that on the table and make everybody agree to what your vision is for the future. And if you agree, then with your mission statement, your value statement, you can then move forward. Clearly.
Yeah, I like that. I haven't thought about it.
Yeah. You want to do as much as you can before you merge, so that you are, even though you feel very comfortable and safe and secure and trust and all that.
Yeah.
Work ethic is really important. There's just certain things that you want to make sure that you check the boxes on before you merge, because it can be a, you know, it's much harder to separate than it is to merge. You think, well, we'll just break up. No, it's very painful to break up. It's like a divorce.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is probably like marriage. Yeah.
So you want to take your time and go through the steps. One of them is, you know, reading this book will, and then deciding, you know, are we going to run a service-based company, or are we going to run an ER? You know, if we want an emergency room, that's great, but that's not what you have. You know, you have a service-based company, which is very focused on consistent process in everything that you do. The more process we have, the more repeatable it is, the greater our probabilities of success. When it's casual or hit or miss, or, you know, an emergency room, the probabilities are always a crisis. You know, the probabilities of success are then dependent on luck and a lot of other things. So you want to make sure that the other party is as committed to process and service and, you know, process for growth, process for service, process for planning, process for everything.
Yeah.
Make sure that other person is as committed to being organized as you are.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you just have to get they may not be educated on it. You know, before you knew Supernova, you didn't know what process was. You kind of had an idea as to what you want, but you didn't know how to get there. And Supernova provides that for you, and with regular instruction. And that, you know, that allowed you to make decisions that were in your benefit consistently.
Yeah.
Somebody that has never been introduced to Supernova never understands, you know, doesn't understand it. So you got to give them a chance. That's why I say have them read the Supernova Advisor, read the team book. I would say in that order, you know, Supernova Advisor, then the team book. For you, you can read you've read the Supernova Advisor, so read the team book now. And then the multiplier, of course, is how do you grow? And that's going to be your Bible on how to grow. Have you gotten that yet? Have you bought it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it because it's everything that we've talked about.
Oh, yeah. I definitely, sure. I have a pile of things and books and papers to read. And, I'm a little bit overwhelmed by that. And I don't know if you remember, but Hopefully in July I will finish this other program I mentioned to you, the Family Wealth Director, this internal program.
Yeah,
I'm doing.
That's great.
So that's also has a lot of heavy reading. Yeah.
Yep. Well, a busy man, you know, gets the job done.
Yeah, you're right. No. At the end, I know what I want, and I'll do it. Yeah, it's the way it works.
Yeah.
But yeah, have to prioritize and then finding the time and do it. Yeah.
Well, you're gonna love the multiplier because it's everything that you and I've been talking about, and it gives you. I was on with another of my students who's been, you know, I've been coaching him for 10 years now, and he was actually in the book. He was one of the people that I interviewed. And he, you know, he's down in the Philadelphia area, and it's just so helpful because he reads the chapter and then he's got questions, and he also, you know, talks about the words I use in the book and how helpful they are to him, and he can read it over and over again until he gets the words right. And, you know, at this stage of the business, he's focused completely on acquisition. He's been a Supernova advisor for 10 years and obviously doing very, very well. But he still is trying to grow and using multiple tools, you know, the community involvement with boards of directors and as well as niches and networks and other things that he's built over the years, and it's fun for me because then we can go into case study work of, okay, I've got this new client, he's going to be promoted to CEO, what should I do with him, how do I leverage him in my niche, they're both tennis players, they love tennis, how can we do that socially and get him involved with opportunities to meet and watch great tennis and to play great tennis. And then I suggested this week that they take him to New York and put him through CEO training from our point of view, the industry's point of view, what is he going to need to know and what can the firm do for him as the new CEO of a fairly small startup company, but still he'll be a major stockholder. And, you know, he goes from being worth $10 million to potentially worth $200 million. You know, what does that do? That's kind of your wealth, family wealth advisor program, you know. Mm-hmm. So knowing what. And I told the FA, this is a great opportunity for you to learn what the firm can do. And you will be educated on this because you'll be sitting there with him while people talk about putting collars on stocks. And those are the actual people that do it. You know, you can go down to the floor and meet the people that will put the collar on and talk about the structure of it, how it will work. So those are smart things, but, you know, a lot of people don't think about that. They don't even know that they're available. So so to me, that's, you know, that's where you and I can get to in terms of, you know, you giving me case studies of people and what the challenges are, and I can help you, I think. At least I can try.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, we are in terms of cases, hopefully, I mean, there are a couple of interesting situations, and the, what I try to focus on is in I would say my objective to grow is to try to focus in bigger and bigger clients. And most of them, how do you find them at the end? And most of them are related to liquidity events. Okay. So the I would say that this client that might sell his company has a lithium mine company in the north of Argentina. And I'm working with his lawyer, and basically what I'm doing with him is the concept of the center of influence. Okay.
Yep.
So that's the way how I basically got into this prospect. And then if actually the liquidity event happens, that's an interesting case to think about and analyze. And then I'm starting just, this is very, very, very recently, we're working with Pablo, with a client of Pablo in Argentina. They have a company which is huge, big for Argentina standards. And we are arranging a meeting so they can get to know our investment banking division, okay? And hopefully down the road, that could also end up in another liquidity event. Those types of engagements are completely different from what we do here in a day-to-day basis. You know, we're usually more focused in terms of the assets management side of the business. And focusing on the liquidity events and so on is a different game. It's like you are more focused with the complexities of a family, more in terms of a relationship with the clients and personal things and factors and what matters to them. And that's very interesting. I find it fascinating. And those are, I think, if they end up, those could be cases that could end up well or not, and worth analyzing and understanding them in order to know what we do right, what we do wrong at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anytime I can, you know, you need to do some brainstorming, you can run them by me. Happy to help.
Okay. Perfect. I will.
So how is Pablo doing?
Oh, he's his child was born, Catalina.
Oh, good.
Very, very recently. So he's, imagine, first child, so lot of everything is new. We have a term in Argentina when you are father for first time. I don't know how was that term here in the here in the US. It's funny, you know. Everything is you sleep a lot less, everything is a concern,
right.
And you're worried, and everything is new, and the baby does something and you're worried, and you know, I think everybody we have been into through that kind of situation. But
yeah,
but
you don't know what it's like until you go through it. It's
exactly. Exactly. But
did he have a boy or a girl?
It's a girl.
Girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Catalina. Catalina is the name.
Great.
Beautiful girl. Yeah, he's happy. They're both fine. Mother is doing well, so they are very, very, very happy. Yeah, and he's trying to take as much time as, you know, as possible to,
sure,
to enjoy it, you know.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
What a thrill. What a thrill for the grandparents too. You know,
Yeah,
we forget. You know, when now I'm a grandparent, you know, and it's you have no idea. You think you're the only people, you know, you're the only person that ever had a baby and you're the only one, you know, and it's brand new and so magical, and but you forget how important it is for the grandparents. They feel like they just had a baby. And that's the part that's so exciting, you know, for them. And had I known how it felt, I would have operated a little differently. I think I would have been more excited for them than I understood. So just remember that, you know, they're so excited. They just, it's on, you know how you feel. And you're so excited. You don't think anybody could be more excited than you are. But in reality, I think I, as a grandparent, was more excited than even my daughter was. You know, it's just exciting. And the idea of having another granddaughter, it's almost just like you had your own baby. It's wonderful.
All right. Yeah.
So wonderful. Well, blessings to Pablo and his new baby.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Catalina, congratulations to them from us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So he's kind of obsessed over that right now, huh?
Yeah. Completely.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. All right. Well, life is good. So you have your homework from us. I think you're taking on a lot, so don't go too fast with the team thing. You take your time, make sure you do your homework.
I will try to keep it simple, and I will focus in those 2-3 points of discussing values, then projecting in terms of 5-10 years, and talking more about the business model, the way I run my business. That is not that different from the way he runs his book of business, but the value concept is very important, and then projecting in terms of 5-10 years, that's also key, and I haven't thought about that. Yeah,
you'll see how that intersects with your values. It's you know, it can be in conflict. You know, if you want to be, if you're much more ambitious, there could be a value conflict there. So you want to make sure that you are and that team are, you know, can see the same picture in the future and are both excited about that picture. You know, so you don't want, you know, it isn't that you can't be friends or that you wouldn't still be good, you know, good guys working together. But, you know, if you're not going in the same direction at the same speed, then sometimes it's a conflict. And so even if you know that it's a conflict, that's very helpful when you go into the partnership and you either accept it or you reject it, you know. So you've got to go in with eyes wide open. Nobody is perfect, and good partnerships aren't with people that are the same as you. But you need to have the same values and the same, frankly, you need to have the same work ethic. Those are the two things that are most important in teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
So,
thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Hopefully, it's been helpful.
Yeah, it's been. It's been. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just periodically getting, you know, a checkup like this is a, you know, meet with a trainer is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very helpful to you.
Yeah,
I hope.
Anyway. No, it is. Definitely. So great. Thank you. Thank you very much for your insights and looking forward for the next call. I'll work on this and let you know how it goes. And in case we need some brainstorming ideas for any of these ongoing cases, I'll shoot you an email. Okay.
Yeah, we'd be happy to set up a quick call. I did it the other day for a client, so I'm happy to do that.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
Congratulations. Thanks. Big congratulations to Pablo, and a big congratulations to you on your $35 million client.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.